Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to hear about some more invisible wins. This time, strength training's effect on your brain and your mental health. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, welcome back. Episode 7. And we are continuing the trend of going deeper into some of these affordances from exercise, some of the extra health benefits you get that you may not be aware of. A big topic today is cognition, brain health, anxiety, Alzheimer's, these sorts of things. So Jim, when it comes to brain health, what can we expect to improve through strength training?
Well, this is another one where it's one of these invisible wins where people don't understand that they're getting more than just locally in the muscle, like the improvement. So turns out contraction with muscle leads to a series of downstream consequences that have awesome effects in the brain. So the biggest one that maybe people have read about is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. And BDNF, it was discovered a few decades back. It used to be thought, you might recall in the previous century, that you were born with as many brain cells, as many neurons as you were ever going to have, and that you're only chance was to not lose them. Mm-hmm. So
thank goodness that's not true.
Yeah. And then they say, well, and you drink and you do drugs and you're losing brain cells and you can't ever build any more. Turns out not true. Turns out we now know you can build new brain cells, new neurons. And one of the factors that that provokes this is BDNF. And it also turns out that exercise increases BDNF. And it further turns out that the thing about exercise that increases BDNF is contraction by the muscles, and the production of BDNF increases as the intensity of the contraction increases. So the name of the game for growing new neurons and maintaining your neuroplasticity is powerful contractions with the muscle. So this is why if someone's 80, 85 years old, well, I get out and I walk around the lake and I am in my garden, you know, that's all great. That's cool. There's so much more. You're leaving a lot of meat on the bone. There's so much more you could be doing. Also, we now have a handful of studies showing that elderly people who test higher in the strength tests in the studies, and these are grip tests, these are gait tests and how quickly they can walk, and they have different ways to measure strength in a way that doesn't hurt the study participants. But reliably, those in the top quartile in the studies of strength, once they follow them longitudinally over years, they are in the cohort that develops Alzheimer's and Parkinson's at slower rates. And so there's seemingly a protective effect on the brain. So you have two things, the BDNF improving your neuroplasticity and making you sharper, improving your capability. And then on the other hand, you're preventing decline. So it's both.
So let me ask you a question there, because we should have talked about this earlier, but maybe it just obviously didn't come up till now. There's sort of this fallacy you talked about. We used to think we couldn't, you know, fix neurons, et cetera. The same used to be with muscle. People saying you can only gain muscle up to a certain age, right?
Right, right.
And then all of a sudden we know
training doesn't work for once you hit some certain age.
Right. So is there any age dependency on this effect on the neurons or on the brain? Kind of like the muscle thing. Can you continue to improve this at any age?
Yeah, the adaptive mechanism by which we improve as a result of strength training is maintained up until the point of death. So then you can't do much of anything. You get rigor mortis and you freeze however you were, and then you can't, no more gains after that. I'm going to try to figure some out, but I think it's no more gains after that. So the good news is that no matter how old you get, so long as you still draw breath, your body still maintains the adaptive mechanism by which it can respond to its environment. And so that's the brain, obviously the muscles. There's no age at which you cannot improve your cognition and improve your brain function. There's no age at which you cannot improve your bone density, increase your strength and muscle mass, regain lost mass that had atrophied from disuse. So no longer is age a factor like that. It's no longer a limitation. You're going to decline in certain ways, and that's father time, but you can live long and drop dead.
So there's not just one way to leave a sexy corpse. You can live longer.
Yeah.
And still leave a sexy corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Or just get huge and leave a giant cloth. Just either way, the way you gotta grab like with a horn sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So how about anything else on this brain health side of things?
Well, there's some evidence that strength training can improve IGF-1 status, which is a hormone that it does a lot of different things. But one of the things it does is it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And so it is a growth factor that is associated with longevity, but more importantly, crosses into the blood-brain barrier and helps prevent catabolism of certain parts of the brain. And then also strength training itself can improve blood flow, and it's a vasodilator. Okay. And so it can improve brain blood flow as well. So if they do strength training and someone's in a functional magnetic resonance imaging like chamber, fMRI, you can see the blood flow in the brain increase. It's which regions that it goes to and the speed with which the blood moves around. When somebody's strength training, there's a lot more activity in the brain. So if someone is 70, 75, 80, 85, or concerned at all with brain health, strength training is also fantastic for that. And the heart and the brain are also very connected. So when you have a venous return of the blood, so when you contract forcibly, the blood is forced into the heart. Mm-hmm. And then that bigger, we can talk about heart health in a future episode, mm-hmm. but that increased cardiac input causes increased cardiac output, and the stroke volume becomes greater. And so that can also increase circulation in the brain. So for circulation reasons and for hormonal neurotransmitter reasons, strength training has been shown to be really excellent for brain health. And you would never know it unless you were made aware of it.
Right. Okay. So you've got this protective effect. You've got improved cognition.
Yep.
How about things like anxiety, depression, these sorts of things? What do we know about that?
Yeah. So strength training is... with dopamine in particular, which we're all aware of, like the popular understanding of dopamine is a reward chemical, which is true. You feel a dopamine hit when you get a reward. But these days, our dopamine system is completely hijacked by coffee, by our phones, by any novel stimulus, because that's what we're hardwired to respond to.
I feel attacked.
Because novelty, I feel attacked. I'm going to escape and my dopamine is going to rise because I escaped. And so the idea is anything novel, that's food, that's a mate, that's survival, that's reproduction. So now we have novel things that are designed specifically by billion-dollar companies to hijack this reward system. But it's not just reward, and it's not just a win that you get. It's also a satisfaction that happens, that dopamine signals victory, signals success. So it can rise to make us seek something out, but it can also rise once we have captured something. So what exercise does, it can increase the expression of the genes related to dopamine production. So it can increase dopamine production, but also increase the number of dopamine receptors inside the brain. And so we feel it's like you don't want to do it. And then it's everyone describes it. And then you do the exercise. Then you're glad you did it. Yeah. I feel so good, especially like in the morning and I did my workout today. And that gives us a rise in dopamine that required no exogenous chemicals, required no exogenous man-made stimuli. Mm-hmm. It was just contraction with muscles, strong, powerful contraction with muscles that regulated our dopamine signaling so that over time, maybe we become less addicted to those things to which we are addicted.
Right.
So whether that's gambling or cocaine or your phone or coffee or emotions that you're addicted to, emotions to which you are addicted, like stress, like ideation along a negative vein. So this mental health piece is really highly affected by strength training, which is why whenever they study depression and anxiety and strength training, and they put it up against SSRIs, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, whenever they put it up against them, strength training usually wins. I can't think of one where the SSRIs, they barely beat the placebo. Like
right, right. We have to agree that those work, which some people don't.
Yeah. No, it's they're out there. And so that the so strength training acquits itself well against pharmaceutical intervention. And so strength training is also has effects on the serotonin system for the same reasons. But serotonin and dopamine and a host of other neurotransmitters are affected in a positive way that helps the brain regulate itself. And so not only the actual brain health, the hardware in your brain, the gooey part, it's also the neurotransmitters and the spaces between the neurons and the hormones that send messages around the brain. Those are also regulated by powerful muscle contractions. The regulation of the brain is one of the beneficial downstream effects of that.
So if you want to focus on the brain, and this protective effect, anxiety, depression, improved cognition, et cetera. This organ we keep coming back to, the most important one here, muscle, is the place to start.
That's where the action is.
That's right.
You want to help the heart and lungs? The muscles where the action is. Mm-hmm. You want to help the brain? The muscles where the action is.
Awesome.
So everything else is downstream from that first domino, which is contracting the muscle against resistance.
So good. All right. Brain health.
Right on.
Good job, man.
Just exercise my own brain.
That's it.
Right on.
Exactly.
Such as it is. That's right.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.